The passage that was read by Brother William a few moments ago from Acts chapter 4, what takes place here is before the Jewish authorities, in the wake of the healing of the lame man who was placed daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. The Bible says in this contextual setting, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, speaking of Christ, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The healed man, who was previously lame, impotent, unable to ambulate from place to place, couldn't walk. He had been lame from his mother's womb. He didn't know what it was like to hear the pitter-patter of his own feet as he ran across the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem. He didn't know what it was like to climb the trees in his neighborhood because he was lame. He was unaware of the sensation that occurs when you run on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and feel the sand and the mud ooze between your toes. He was deprived of a great number of sensations and physical experiences by virtue of his lameness, of his impotence. But he came into contact with two men, Peter and John, who had been in touch with Jesus and who were empowered by him. And he received a magnificent blessing that was far beyond his most extravagant dreams on the day at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when it was the hour of prayer and Peter and John were about to go into the temple. And he looked at them and asked alms of them. Peter, beholding this pitiable spectacle of an impotent human being, said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he stood up and he leaped, and he went with them walking and leaping into the temple. Can you imagine how he felt? He had never walked before. And he was empowered to walk, not on an installment plan. He didn't have to make a number of trips to a physician to monitor his progress. Instantaneously, by the power of Jesus of Nazareth, he immediately was healed and began to walk. What a wonderful experience. He was able to do this and to respond that way because of the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to talk to you on the basis of this contextual setting about an unusual topic. But you can easily identify with it. I want to talk to you about outboard Christians. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jones, by outboard Christians? Anybody here ever been to McDonald's? What about Wendy's? Kentucky? Fast food joints. I was the guest at Apollo Burger. That's a brand new, to this area, a brand new hamburger joint. And one day last week, I said, I'm going to go check this out. I love a good burger. And I said, I'm going to see if they have a good burger. I'd already been to Culver's. I think that's how you say it. We have a new one of those, been open for a few months on Indian Lake Boulevard in Hendersonville. I visited them a number of months ago. But I decided, I'm going to check out this new place. I want to see what they have to offer. I want to see if they can really do a good burger. I love a good burger. Some time ago, I've made two visits to Red Robin. They're a little expensive, but they have some pretty decent burgers. So I went to Apollo Burger, and I went back there, and I looked up at the order board, and I saw the pictures of the various sandwiches which they offered. And then I saw one particular sandwich, and I think you could call it their signature sandwich. It was labeled as the Apollo Burger. And the young man who was taking orders was standing there, and I looked at him. Then I looked at the picture of the burger. It looked good, mouth-wateringly delicious. And I had one question for him. I said, sir, if I place an order for this Apollo burger, will the burger you prepare for me look exactly like that burger on the picture if I order this Apollo burger? And it looked good. I said, can you promise me that my burger will look exactly like the burger that you have pictured there? Do you know what he had the nerve to tell me? He said, sir, it will look exactly like the burger on the picture. I said, if that be the case, I want one of them. And in a very few minutes, they had an Apollo burger prepared for me. And when I got my Apollo burger, I looked at the burger, and then I looked at the picture of the Apollo burger. They were not identical. My burger faintly resembled the burger I saw on the audible, but it did not come close to even being a reasonable facsimile of the burger on the picture. And I have repeated this in a number of instances. They used to have a triple melt sandwich, roast beef sandwich at Arby's years ago. And that triple melt on the order board, that picture, man, you had meat coming all out from the buns. You had cheese just oozing out from under the bun. The bun was not sufficient to accommodate all the roast beef that they had placed on the bun. And so I asked that young man, I said, sir, that triple melt looks good. Can you fix me one that looks just like that one on the order board picture? He said, I can't promise you it's going to be just like that one. And indeed, he couldn't. And indeed, he didn't. When I got my burger, I was wondering, as I lifted up the bun and examined the roast beef that covered that bottom bun, I was thinking, this does not come close to looking exactly like the bun and the roast and the cheese on the audible. And I have pretty much concluded, since I've had a number of experiences similar to the ones I have described, that it's very rare, if ever, you will find a sandwich in reality that is prepared for your human consumption that looks as good as those that are offered on the order board, those that are pictured there. Now you said, Brother Jones, what does this have to do with us as Christians? And why do you want to refer to us as order board Christians? You see, when people look in the Bible, when they look in the Word of God, and they see a picture of Jesus, they see the demonstration of his love, of his compassion, of his truthfulness, of his sensitivity, of his caring. They are able to see a clear and distinct picture of his character as the Son of God. The Bible, in a very real sense, is the order board. And when they look at Jesus, and when they look at us, who are representatives of Jesus, they should be able to discern that there's a close kinship between us and Jesus. They should be able to determine that we have a lot in common, that we look very much like Jesus. When they look at Jesus' picture on the order board. And our goal should always be to be more and more like Jesus. We want to strive to conduct ourselves in such a way that people can, like they did with James and John, perceive and take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus, that we have spent time with Jesus, that we have become very much like Jesus. When they look at us, we are the product that is representative of Jesus on God's spiritual audible. They should be able to see a reflection of Jesus in us. I want to call your attention just to a few scriptures and we'll be done. Just a few scriptures. As we think in terms of the picture of Christ portrayed in Scripture, the image, that's Christ, and then us as we strive to conform to that spiritual image of Christ, we are the imitation. That's you and that's me. And then to think in terms of the implementation of in everyday life, striving to be more and more like Christ. Imitation is defined as the act of copying or imitating someone or something. It is also defined as something that is made or produced as a copy. We should be imitators of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We should strive every day to be more and more like Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Notice, the disciple is not above his master. You know, I'd be just shocked if I placed an order for an Apollo burger or for a Whopper, a Junior Whopper, or for a Wendy's double, and the burger they fix me look better than the one on the order board. You talking about being shocked? I would sure enough be shocked. Jesus says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect, everyone that is complete, that is mature, shall be as his master. We should be more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord. A lot of children will imitate their parents, try to be like their parents. Sometimes little girls will get their mother's necklaces and drape them around their little necks. They'll get mama's, the 3 or 4 year old, get mama's high heels and put them on. Get mama's fur wrapper and throw it around her little shoulders, whether it's rabbit, mink, or chinchilla. But she wants to imitate mama. She wants to be like her mother. We used to watch my dad, my brothers and I, washing his face. This might sound silly to you, but he would get his water and put it in his hand, rub the soap, and then he very vigorously rubbed his face in washing his face. And we thought that was manly. And so when we got a chance to wash our faces, we would get the water and the soap, and we'd get the lather, and we'd take our faces and we'd rub very vigorously. That meant that we were manly. Then we'd take some men and skin bracing slap it on our cheeks. Yeah, what we were doing is we were trying to imitate our daddies. But then there was something else that we used to do as boys when we'd be out walking around the farm behind Dad. What we'd do is, of course, Dad's strides were a little bit wider than our strides. But we'd be trying our level best to take our little feet and put them in the footsteps that he left behind. We were trying our best to imitate our father. We were trying our best to be like our daddy. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, shares something with us. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The Lord has left an example for us that we can follow, where we can be more and more like him. The Greek word from which example is translated, I am told, comes from the concept that was used by Mrs. Anderson at Marigold Elementary when I was first grade in teaching her youthful students how to write. She had a line on the top with the alphabets, a capital letter, a small letter, or a lowercase letter, uppercase, lowercase. And then we little students, sometimes having to stand on our tiptoes, would take the crayon and we would write what she already had laid out on the board. And we tried to meticulously copy with exactitude the letters just as she had written them out. And that way we learned how to write. We learned how to do that with regular printing, and then later we learned how to do it with cursive writing. Kids don't do a lot of cursive writing anymore. And some people are thinking, you say cursing? No, cursive. Okay. But the thing is, we wrote under what she had written. And we tried our best to write exactly what she wrote, how she wrote it. That's the concept. He has left us an example, and we write under, or we do like he has done, like writing under a sentence he has written. He has left us an example that we should follow in his step. All aboard, Christians, how closely do you approximate the image of Christ in your everyday life, in the practicing of the fruit of the Spirit, in the living out in reality of everyday life, the divine elements of love as they are described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. We should strive every day to be more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord, such that those who observe us and examine our lives can take knowledge of us like the authorities took knowledge of Peter and John and reach the conclusion that we have been with Jesus. The lesson is yours. Let's try to be more and more like Christ. If you are here and have not been putting forth an authentic and genuine effort to be more and more like Christ, if you have lived in such a way that you don't even come close to approximating the image of Christ, your Savior and your example, why not resolve tonight that you're going to make amends? Resolve tonight that you are going to begin to be more and more like Christ. If you've fallen, by the way, if you have lapsed into an unfortunate state of apathy and spiritual complacency, why not rededicate your life to the Lord today through repentance, confession, and prayer? And if you've not even begun to follow the Master who loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for you, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day, why not embark upon the delightful and challenging journey of following Christ? You've heard the good news of the gospel. Believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and submit in humble obedience to baptism for the remission of your sins, and arise from the watery grave to walk in the newness of life, knowing that Christ has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Will you come as we stand?